Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, welcome, welcome on this lovely Sunday morning with myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, medium wave 1548 on the Globe Talking program, alhamdulillah. And today we're talking on travel, like we always do, on the Globe Talking program, alhamdulillah. But today we have a different taste of it all. Alhamdulillah, today we are broadcasting live from the Asian continent, in a country called Cambodia. And as I sit where I'm sitting at the moment, I'm looking at the Delta. I'm looking at the river here, and I'm looking at the roofs, and I'm looking at all these squatters in front of me here also. What a sight to see. Alhamdulillah. We're sitting here today live in Cambodia. It is now 2:15 or 2:14 in the afternoon. We've just had lunch, alhamdulillah. And we in Cambodia. I walking around the streets of Cambodia, going around here, talking to the people in the villages, talking to the people in this area. What a feeling. Okay, more of Cambodia shortly. But more than that, alhamdulillah, we're already coming to the time of Eid al-Adha. Alhamdulillah, people are getting prepared and preparing with their animals and so on. In Johannesburg also, I don't know what's the weather out there, but on here it is scorching hot. But in Johannesburg, people are getting ready, getting prepared. And the first is on Friday. It will be on Friday. I hope each one of you have a spiritual day, inshallah, and Allah make it easy for each one of you out there. And all of us, Allah, accept our qurbanis. And that's what we ask for. Time has flown past. We're already coming to the 1st of September, alhamdulillah. We're coming down 1st of September. Now, as we know, people are starting to prepare. People are organizing, they're preparing, they're getting all sorted out, alhamdulillah. And in doing so, we're having all the preparations of holidays coming ahead. Now, I've just on that note, I've got a few messages which I received. I could not respond from where I am. So if you are waiting for a response, please bear with me. I am out at the moment. When I get back, I will get that all sorted out for you. There have been some destinations which some of the listeners asked me for assistance for. Inshallah, we will sort that out. And let's see if Allah make it easy. Allah make it possible that we all, wherever we are, whatever we do, our utmost best to assist in whichever way we can. Now, if you're looking at Asia, you're looking at this particular country where there's been mixed reactions to the Muslims of this part of the world. There's been, I would say, when I look at it, the way I look at it, culture crept into society. Culture crept into the way of living of these people. And what happened was, as culture came in, certain parts of Islam was replaced by their cultures. Which, for example, this afternoon while having lunch, it so happens we were having lunch on the dasturkhan on the floor, alhamdulillah, that's the way they eat here. And when they cleared the table up, or they cleared the dasturkhan, they started taking all the dishes away. And Hafiz Siraj, who's with us here, Hafiz Siraj mentioned to them that, listen, why don't you take the food away first? Because that is a sunnah. Take the food away and then you take all the dishes. And they mentioned to us that in our culture, we got to leave the food at the table and we got to take the dishes away and take the plates away first. Because the food has to stay on the dasturkhan, that if anybody wants to nibble or bite thereafter while the plates are taken away, they can't do that. It's rude to take the food away first. Now, that's what I'm saying. We have culture that came into religion, or they made it part of the religion. But that's the way it is. And without saying much, without being difficult, you got to explain to them. You got to tell them in kind words that this is the way it is. And alhamdulillah, by doing so, they understand. And then they discuss amongst themselves that they've got to change it. Now, things like that. Now, Cambodia is a country in Southeast Asia, and it's of incredible beauty. With famous breathtaking, which we've seen here, the designs of the temples that they have. The fertile plains dotted with rice fields, and a history unlike any other. The dominant religion is Buddhism, which places a value on hospitality and kindness. And each year, Cambodia draws millions of tourists who come to enjoy the country's breathtaking sights and enter the walls of Cambodia's Angkor Wat, one of the seven wonders of the world. But sadly, with all the beauty that Cambodia has captured throughout time, at one point in its history, darkness devoured this fragile nation. Once ruled by French as part of the French Indochina, Cambodia gained independence from European colonization at a price. Years of civil war, turmoil, and political corruption followed as Cambodia began governing itself. Was bordering Vietnam at war with the United States, Cambodia was also slowly dragged into darkness when the Nixon administration conducted secret bombings of Cambodia during the early 1970s. Now, we know the history, and when we talk of Cambodia, we talk of the killing fields. When we talk of Vietnam, we talk of the war. So this region is identified with that. When I talk of the killing fields, we went into that area. It's the jungle area. We went there. And when you talk of the killing fields, you can only picture and imagine what happened to the people, what happened to the nation, the Cambodian nation, during the time of darkness, during the time of that civil war that took place. And that led to the rise of communist Cambodia. And that led to the rise which the leader Pol Pot and his entourage, who brought the country into the darkest days of its history. From 1975 to 1979, Cambodia turned into the infamous killing fields. And that is the jungle area, where nearly 2 million of Cambodia's 6 million population, now you're talking of 33% of the population, were killed. Today, Cambodia still struggles to overcome its dark history. Landmines are still scattered, and they are still they're tormenting the nation, I would say, serving as dangerous remnants of war and resulting in an alarmingly high number of disabled people. In addition, due to its weak and sometimes ineffective government, several illegal activities, such as children's sex trade, continue to operate within Cambodia's borders. Unfortunately for many, the darkness of Cambodia's past has followed them to first world countries and to so-called lands of freedom. Cambodian Americans still face a plethora of problems such as high gang violence, teen pregnancy, social anxiety, poverty, and the highest illiterate rate among the group in these first world countries. And Cambodia has got a rich history of Islam, alhamdulillah. Islam is the religion of the majority of the Cham people, also called the Khmer Islam. And Malay minorities in Cambodia, there were about 150,000 to 200,000 Muslims in Cambodia as late as 1975. Persecution under the Khmer Rouge eroded their numbers. However, and by the late 1980s, they probably had not regained their former strength. And in 2009, it was estimated that 1.6% of the population, or we would give it a number of about 230,000 to 240,000 people, were Muslims. All of the Cham Muslims, and they are Sunnis of the Shafi school of thought, alhamdulillah. The Cham Muslims trace their ancestry to one of the father-in-laws of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is Jash, the father of Zainab bint Jash. It was in the wake of many Sahabas who arrived in Indochina in 617, 618 from Abyssinia, and they came by sea route. The Cham have their own masjid, and in 1962, there were about 100 masjids in the country. At the end of the 19th century, the Muslims of Cambodia formed a unity under the authority of four religious dignitaries. A council of notables in Cham villages consisted of one hakim and several khatib, bilal, and labi. Now we find that when you talk of the hakim and we talk of the khatibs and so on, you'll find that also in Vietnam because of the Cham people. And this is their, I would say, it came in as their culture, but also as religion. And they had a hakim who was like one of the seniors, one of the senior so-called ulama. And they had great respect, and they still have great respect for the hakim of the village or the hakim of the town. And he then instructs the villagers what to do, or if they want any answers for anything, they go to the hakim. If they want to do anything, their mashwara is done with the hakim. And he, in turn, consults with a group of other members, and they discuss it in detail, and they come back to the community and tell them what to do and what not to do. And the four high dignitaries in the Hakim, they were exempt from personal taxes at the time. And they were invited to take part in major national ceremonies at the royal court. When Cambodia became independent, the Islamic community was placed under the control of a five-member council that represented the community in official functions and in contact with other Islamic communities. Each Muslim community has a Hakim who leads the community and the masjid. He also leads the masjid committee and meeting, and an imam who leads the namaz, and a Bilal who calls the adhan. The peninsula near Phnom Penh, now Phnom Penh is where we are at the moment in Cambodia, and the peninsula near Phnom Penh is considered the spiritual center of the Cham Bani nation, and several high Muslim officials reside there. Each year, some of the Cham go to study Quran in Malaysia at Kelantan, and they go study Quran there. And you'd find that happening, and you'd find the Hakim familiarizing themselves, and they come back. And they impart with the information, they impart with knowledge that they gain from that side. The traditional charm retain many ancient Muslims or pre-Muslim traditions and rites. They consider Allah as the all-powerful, but they also recognize other non-Islamic practices. Now, that is when I say culture came in. They came from Indonesia, and they came with culture from up north. Now, many people from Indonesia that came here, they were Hindus at the time. And when they came down, they then integrated with the Cham people in the south of the continent, and they embraced Islam. But their cultures were still kept intact. Now, many a times when you find these cultures are kept intact, sometimes detrimental, but sometimes when you look at them, they've got lots of adab, they've got lots of respect. Now, in this case, you find some of the cultures that they brought with them were very much of the Buddhist-style culture, I would say. But it has changed, time has changed, things have changed, and they've realized, with modern technology, they've realized that there has to be some changes. And the religious dignitaries of the traditional Cham and of the Cham in Vietnam, they dress completely in white. They wear a full white kurta, and they shave their heads and faces. These Cham believe in the power of magic and sorcery. Now that, it has changed though. We find that those things have really, really changed over the time. And they attach great importance to magical practices they used to do. And in order to avoid sickness or slow or violent death, they believed in many supernatural powers. Although they show little interest in Hajj and in the five Salat daily prayers, the traditional Cham celebrate many of the Muslim festivals and rituals. Then you have the Orthodox Cham. They have adopted a more conformist religion largely because of their close contacts with the intermarriages, with the Malay community. And in fact, the Orthodox Cham have adopted the Malay customs and family organization. And many speak the Malay language. When they send their pilgrims or their, I would say, Hajis to Mecca, and they attend international Islamic conferences, conflicts between the traditional and Orthodox Cham nation increased between 1954 and 1975. For example, the two groups polarized the population of one village, and each group eventually had its own masjid and separate religious organization. And according to the Cham sources, 132 masjids were destroyed during the Khmer Rouge era. Many others were desecrated, and Muslims were not allowed to worship. Later, since the Vietnamese installed the PRK regime, Islam has been given the same freedom as Buddhism. Alhamdulillah. It is believed that about 185,000 Cham lived in Cambodia in the mid-80s, and that the number of masjids was about the same then as it was before 1975. In early 1988, there were 6 masjids in Phnom Penh area, and a good number in the provinces, but Muslim dignitaries were thinly stretched. Only 20 of the previous 113 prominent Cham clergy in Cambodia survived the Khmer Rouge period. Today, Muslims are able to practice Islam normally and out in the open. And I was very much surprised. We met a Jamaat that came from Pakistan. In fact, when we got off at the airport, there was a Jamaat that was going They were flying back to Pakistan. They were here for 4 months. And then we started talking to them, asking them about Jamaat work and so on. And alhamdulillah, Jamaat work is openly practiced here. People go out door to door. They walk. They do what they have to do. They sleep in the masjids. Openly practiced without any fear, alhamdulillah. Allah, keep it that way. Allah, make it easy for the Muslims. Make it easy for Jamaat work. And with the Jamaats that's been coming here to Cambodia, alhamdulillah, Allah has changed the hearts of many, many people. And they've realized that this is the work of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they tell you that these Jamaats have come and it's a blessing for us. So please send Jamaats out. That on a weekly basis, we met, we still was brother Ibrahim Gangat, who's originally from Shepston. He's living here now. And alhamdulillah, he was telling us that on a weekly basis, he makes khidmat of the Jamaats that come here. So on a weekly basis, you have Jamaats from around the world that come here and freely practice, alhamdulillah. Now that is what we would like to hear. And, you know, all this commenced in the Republic, in the People's Republic of Kampuchea era, when Islam was given the same freedom as that of Buddhism. The official religion practiced by the majority of Cambodians, which is Buddhism. The Chams also enjoyed democratic rights, like all Khmer citizens, with the right to vote and be elected as politicians. Now, the thing is, when we're talking of Cambodia itself, we spoke of the Angkor Wat period, which is the Hindu period and so on. There's so much more to discuss about Cambodia. But with me, alhamdulillah, today we have a representative who we've been working with for the last 10, 12 years now. And it's just so fulfilling that when we come here to Cambodia and we meet the people, and one particular person is Brother Yusuf, who's been very active in work that's been done in Cambodia. I'll just give you a brief of Brother Yusuf. Brother Yusuf was a zakat case about 10 years ago or so. And when Hafiz Siraj came here to Cambodia at the time, he requested that he would like to do a course in computers, because he was like more affiliated to that part of the computer field and so on. And he wanted to learn computers. And in doing so, Hafiz Siraj looked at it and said, let's give it a chance. Let's pay for his studies. But at the time, he was a recipient of zakat, including his parents and family, and he was so-called supporting the family in that manner. So they were collecting zakat from the fund that, alhamdulillah, that's been created by South Africans, I would say. And he's been collecting the zakat at the time for a period of time. But when he went for the course, and he got back from the course, he started working, alhamdulillah, and he started improving, his life started improving. He got offered major positions in good jobs and, you know, in good companies and so on. Then a time came thereafter, not long thereafter, I would say, where he then said, okay, please take me off the list, take my parents off the list. And as time went on, he then started removing people from the zakat list, and he himself started supporting those people. Now this is a success story. Self-empowerment. And he's empowered, alhamdulillah, with the team that I'm here with at the moment to come and oversee what's going on. The team supported the project, supported Yusuf, and got him to be self-sufficient. And today, alhamdulillah, he's driving us around in Vietnam, in Cambodia, and he's taking us to all these places where he is now the representative for the team, where on a monthly basis, the people that are zakat cases come to his place to collect their mere $10 which they live on, mere $15 which they live on. They live on that, and they make do with that. In South Africa, we must make lots of shukr to the Almighty Allah. Ya Allah, please make it easy for us, and please do not test us the way these people are tested, where they're living on between $10 and $20 a month. And they are so content with that. And alhamdulillah, Yusuf is now the representative for the team, and he is now also supporting a few of the zakat cases. Yusuf is sitting in front of me. I'm going to be talking to him. I'm going to discuss with him. But we do have an air break. We're going to take the air break. And thereafter, we are going to talk to Yusuf. But our SMS line, or I would say our WhatsApp line, the SMSs are not working at the moment because I'm not connected with my SMSs. But if there's anything that you'd like to check with me or ask me or ask Yusuf, my WhatsApp line, 072-786-5520, 072-786-5520. You may WhatsApp me at any time.
And whatever questions you have, you may ask me the questions, but we are going to discuss with you. And we're going to ask him a bit of the life of his life and life in Cambodia in general. But we'll do that right after the break.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, medium wave 1548 on the Globe Trotting program, broadcasting live from Cambodia on the Asian continent, alhamdulillah. And like I said, I'm sitting on the top of a building, overlooking lots of roofs here, and I'm looking at the Delta. What a huge river. And that's where we talk of the killing fields that were not far from there. And that is where the war, if you remember and you saw pictures, the war was in those water areas. And that's where we're sitting and watching. And also another thing which I'm looking at are houses that are on the riverbank, on stilts. And these people live there. They live on stilts in the river. I've seen so many, and we walk through here, and we've seen poverty at its peak. It brought tears to our eyes. But alhamdulillah, when they saw us, they looked and they said, Ya Allah, we see some light. And these people have come and they've put their name on the list. And we have Brother Yusuf mentioned Yusuf's story, who had been a zakatable case with the MBJ projects. And alhamdulillah, today it has turned around and he is now supporting zakat cases. And he's got his own vehicle. He's a senior member who works very closely with government. He's a senior member in one of the networks, cellular networks of the country. And he works closely with government. He gets taken to different countries for when it comes to presentations and so on. And that is his condition at the moment, alhamdulillah. And it makes one so proud as a South African. And the general South African public should feel proud for what the South Africans have done for him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Yusuf. I really, really thank you and appreciate. Although you are nervous and you're telling me that your English is not so great, but definitely if we understand you, the South Africans will understand you. And I really, really appreciate you joining us on this lovely Sunday morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Brother Yusuf, I've given your brief story of what you've done. I've given you a brief story of who you are. Can you tell us more about your background and your position now in a company of a cellular network and so on? And you've grown in such short time. You've grown where you needed assistance in the beginning, and alhamdulillah, MBJ Projects assisted you. And today you are where you are, alhamdulillah, through the help of Allah and the South African nation, alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum everyone, brother and sister from Cambodia here. I'm Yusuf from Cambodia, and salam to everyone in South Africa and throughout the world. Talking about myself, I actually one of the guy in Cambodia who I met Hafiz Sab Siraj sometime last 10 or 12 years ago. He actually came for the tabligh work. And I saw him give the bayan in masjid. And that time, I was struggling in my education fee. I had a talk with him. I said, Hafizab, can you help me something? And then he made a fun to me. He said, why do I need to help you? I said, please, if you could help me, please help me, because I will need to finish my bachelor degree that time, because I am short of the money. I could not finish my bachelor degree. And after a while, he gave me the email address. Few weeks back, I wrote him an email asking about that, whether he is still interested to help me. And alhamdulillah, he decided to help me during that time. To be honest, I got $300 from him. And it is a big amount for me to finish my bachelor degree. Since then, that period of time, I start to find a job, looking for a job. I was in the garment worker. I was working as the garment worker. I got $70 per month. And I found myself that I should make a move, because this work, it blocked me from prayer times. Because during Asha times, I could not take a short while for prayer, because the owner of those garment factory, they are Chinese people. I was in garment factory for 6 months, and then I started to move from one to one another company. Alhamdulillah, for the time being, I would say it is good for me that I has been working for one of the Malaysian company. It is one of the mobile network company, and we are now the number one company in Cambodia. And talking about myself, I have been promoted from time to time, and now my current role is to take care of the regulation and government affairs. So as Brother Lambat said, I move around from country to country because I would need to learn from the neighboring country. One thing, another thing is I might need to bring my ministry people to understand what is the best practice in the neighboring country. That's why he keeps saying that I move around from country to country. Talking about what I understand from the project, MBJ project in Cambodia, I would honestly disclose to everyone that I have learned a lot from MBJ. One thing I learned the most is sharing. Myself, I got something from MBJ, and I believe myself that I have to give back to this project. On top of that, I have to give something to my people itself. As Brother Lambat said, previously I got some zakat from MBJ. When I realized myself that it is not a time for me to accept the zakat anymore, I decided straight away, I said, please stop, I don't need that zakat anymore. Please transfer or divert this zakat to the needy of my community. Start from time to time, we actually support a few families in Cambodia, I would say from 5 to 10, 10 to 20, with not that much big amount, for example, $10 to $15 in average per month, but it would help a lot, I would say then, to these people because they are very in the need. They have children, but their children also in the tough times. They are old. They have not enough money for the medication. So what we supporting them from time to time, I do the follow up. I understand from them. Most of them they're using this money for the medication. So I think that is what my background is and what I have understand a little bit on the MBJ.
Alhamdulillah, Brother Yusuf. You know, yours is a true success story where you started small a few years ago and you've grown so big in the company. There's been some other success stories also. But in general, the place where we are, this place in Phnom Penh, which is called, is it kilometer 9?
Eight.
Kilometer 8. This place is called kilometer 8. There's a village here. A few years ago when we came, that whole village burned down due to some issues that were in the, I think there was some fire in the middle of the build, in the middle of the camp, and it just raised the whole camp to, it was just burned black, yeah, as we saw it. And when we saw that, tears just rolled everybody's cheeks. And that is what changed our hearts. And Alhamdulillah, today, as I'm sitting where I'm sitting right now, I'm overlooking that particular camp. And things have changed. Things have changed. Things have really, really... There's a difference here now. We are looking entirely at this area where it was raised to the ground and now rebuilt again. And you can imagine those people needed assistance. Brother Yusuf, who was in the forefront, contacted us and said, we need assistance urgently. We need to get things done urgently. And Alhamdulillah, in doing so, we continued with the work that was being done here. And that is where the whole Qurbani thing came about, started giving them Qurbani and making it a point that we support these people. And that's where the change came. Now, Brother Yusuf, as we're sitting here now, all these people that are here, are they the Cham Muslims? Are they Malaysian Muslims? Are there any expats which are living in this particular area where you are?
Yeah, we do have, actually, our next generation, I mean, in the same age as me, some of them, they have to study abroad in Malaysia, Indonesia or Brunei. So those people, they also learn something about from those countries. We do have some people are coming from Malaysia to live here, doing business here as well. So I would say the next generation now, in terms of religious practice, we are good.
Alhamdulillah. So Islam, I see the masjid, there's a masjid, a Malaysian company or Malaysian family or somebody put up a masjid here, a Malaysian masjid. Tell me more about the masjid which is here in the midst of your community.
This masjid, you see in the program here, and the community, they decide, for example, our whole project, what is the total amount of the project. We do a consultation among the villagers. We come up with an idea for
yes.
how much we should contribute per family. And then when we found out the total amount that we could gain from this community, the rest of the amount, we shout for the help from other country.
Yes. Continue.
Yeah, from time to time, so of course, the building was setting up, but I would say it is not 100% complete. But alhamdulillah, the support, the sponsorship is coming on. For example, the carpet is coming afterward. The first day, we have only the masjid, but we have no carpet for prayer.
Yes.
But later on, we have some generous people from our country, Malaysia. They also support the carpet later on.
Alhamdulillah, I got an SMS that came through here and it says, my name is Assalamu Alaikum, Ashraf Pandor from Roshni. Please give brother Yusuf salams. I was with him initially with this whole project. So Alhamdulillah, you know, it's the brothers that came here over time. And as they came here, they realized that who you are and who the team is and who the people in this area are. So Alhamdulillah, it makes a difference, especially when you come here and you physically see what's going on. When you see the poverty, when you see these people in this area, you see the people in this village, when you see all these things, it's such, you know, it is so heartening to note that when it comes to these people here, then what you do is, when you look at all these things, it just softens your heart. And what's the whole story of Brother Yusuf and many others like him, it makes a difference in life. Now, all these people here, I see there's lots of Malaysians which are involved in the upkeep of this community. Can you just brief us a little more of the Malaysian people, and I think there's some Vietnamese or, you know, all these nations that come up here.
Yeah, talking about the Malaysian people here, we do have the support in terms of funding, money, and on top of that, we do have the support in terms of education. So those Malaysian people, they offer some education to this community. So our Hakim, they do the consultation with the student here, and they find out who are the best students deserve to study abroad. So those students, they were sent to study in Malaysia, so on. And we do have a businessman in, they come and do the business in Cambodia.
Alhamdulillah. You know, the thing is, when we hear, as I said in the beginning, when we hear Cambodia, we hear Vietnam, we think war. We think of the killing fields. We think of the war in the jungles and so on. Life has changed. The city of Phnom Penh, from what it used to be and from what it is, has really changed. Alhamdulillah, there are a lot of Muslims. There are lots of Muslims that have built up and improved themselves in this particular town of Phnom Penh. Lots of expats have come in. Lots of development is taking place. Lots of manufacturing is taking place here. And as a tourist destination, I think, as a South African, if you want to, and truly, sincerely, I'm telling you, if you want to visit Cambodia, visit Phnom Penh, I haven't heard people really wanting to come to Phnom Penh. But come to Phnom Penh. It is a destination which you would find many hotels, you'd find high-rise buildings, you'd find the weather to be excellent. It is quite warm. The food also excellent, lots of Muslims, and lots of halal food here also. So, you can come here to Phnom Penh. And if you are coming to Phnom Penh, let me know. Maybe Yusuf can come here and entertain you, or probably assist you in whatever you want to do. Yusuf will be able to assist you, because he's in the heart of Phnom Penh. He's in the heart of where all these things are happening with all these people. And like I say, Yusuf has a heart, as he mentioned to you earlier on, that he was given assistance. What he wants to do is also assist others because he was given assistance. So a person like this who appreciates what was given to him and who wants to help others makes a difference in life. So you as a tourist coming from South Africa, coming here to Cambodia, Alhamdulillah, I can say
clearly say which Yusuf is entertaining us. He picked us up from the airport. He's taking us out. He was with us till 1 o'clock yesterday, this morning, I would say. Back on, it's now almost 3 o'clock here. He's been with us all day. We've had lunch with him. He's taken leave from work to be with us. Alhamdulillah. Now, that is something which, you know, there's no words that can explain. There's absolutely no words that can explain. So, alhamdulillah, Allah make it easy. Allah make it easy for all out there. Allah make it easy for every human being with all the difficulty that we're going through. Allah make it easy for us, inshallah. Now, Brother Yusuf, alhamdulillah, we're coming now to the 1st of September, which is also Eid Day.
Yeah.
And the responsibility is given off to you for the Qurbanis and so on.
Yeah.
Going into the rural areas, I believe tomorrow you're taking us somewhere 500-600 kilometers from here.
Yeah, 700 plus.
700 plus kilometers. You're taking us from there. Yeah. And alhamdulillah, it's a madrasa which you want us that we should adopt and assist with the madrasa.
Yeah,
and the farms that you're taking us there for the Qurbani to buy the cattle and so on. Now, going so far out, are there many Muslims in the outskirts, in the rural areas?
I would say in those outskirts, people come talking about the religious practice, I mean the iman of the people, those people are much, much better. Because why I said that? Because they are adopted in the school, madrasa. They study, they have faced the mu'alim in those madrasa. And I would recommend our people, MBJ people, to visit, to adopt those people, because I see, I did the observation, I have a look by myself, I think it is worth to invest in those people.
Alhamdulillah, that's what we require, alhamdulillah. So, Shukr, I really appreciate you joining us on the Sunday morning, I would say Sunday morning for the South Africans, Sunday afternoon for us. We are going out, you are taking us out now to another village to go see some of the Muslims there, alhamdulillah, so I really appreciate that also.
You're welcome.
And more than that, what we're going to be doing is, we'll be going to Vietnam, inshallah, probably within the next 2-3 days. We're going to Vietnam, and we're expecting to see what we have just seen here now. Is there any last two words before we... I think we're already out of time. In fact, our time has really just flown past us. Is there one, two words that you want to just give us?
Yes, thanks for giving me opportunity to appeal to one I have in mind. Firstly, I need to honestly say thanks to MBJ's project, especially Hafiz Sam. One interesting lesson that I learned from him a lot, I really love the way he worked. I listen to him, so I believe that I will learn more and more from him. And one challenge in Cambodia that I would need to appeal for the need, and I also want to seek MBJ project to continue in Cambodia. You see, in Cambodia, our Muslim lady or Muslim girl, they are in the tough times. They are forced to come to work in the garment factory, which the owner is Chinese people. They were in a tough time, especially there is no time for prayer, and they are not okay to wear the hijab in the garment factory. So this, if I put a request to MBJ, to our brothers, if any possibility for you people to consider, if any help you could do for Muslim people here, it is very, very much appreciated.
Inshallah.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. I really appreciate you joining us on the Sunday morning. We're already out of time. In fact, Mahmoud Bhai is going to cut me off here. We are broadcasting live from Cambodia, alhamdulillah. What a pleasure it is to do that, to be amongst the people that we're talking of and we're talking to. It is just one good story, I would say, that happened to us now. So I really appreciate from Brother Yusuf and the team as a whole. And alhamdulillah, Allah make it easy for us all. We are going to be going to Vietnam to fulfill the Qurbanis Day, inshallah. Likewise, we're going to be doing the same way we go personally, and we're going to be going out and doing the zakat and whatever it is. That comes first, alhamdulillah. And that's the way it is, inshallah. Allah make it easy. And Allah make it easy for us all, for the Muslims of South Africa, the Muslims of Cambodia, and Muslims throughout the world, inshallah. I really appreciate it. JazakAllah, my brother Yusuf. I really appreciate it. Inshallah, let us see what happens. If we could, I think we may be able to broadcast live from Vietnam, inshallah, next week. We'll see if we can do that. We'll do that. Otherwise, we'll see which way forward, inshallah, depending on flights and so on. Allah make it easy for one and all in South Africa. I hope each one of you have a great Eid, inshallah, and have a fulfilling, and a truly fulfilling spiritual Eid al-Adha. From myself, Muhammad Lambat, until next week.